life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
Hey everybody, welcome to a new episode of this show. Let's get into it. Let's not waste fucking time, you know what I mean? Here's something. Last time we were talking about feet for some reason. I can't remember exactly what was going on, but you know, the topic of feet came up, and a listener directed me to a website called WikiFeet, the collaborative celebrity feet website. So I guess if you want to look at celebrity feet, you can. This is where to find them. Now, this is an interesting situation because, for starters, I guess my definition of what or who is a celebrity, it's not about my definition. It's about my, I don't know who, I don't know anyone famous at this time. So, like, right now, I'm at WikiFeet. I just thought, let's explore this a little, because why not, right? So I'm at WikiFeet, and it's got a bunch of celebrities listed, and I know about half of them, maybe. Also, here's something that's interesting about this. Some of these appear to be pornographic stars, which seems weird. Like, I just don't feel like, you know... Okay, here... When I click on the celebrities menu, which I kind of thought would be the whatever, you know what I mean? Like the first, I thought everything would be celebrities. I guess maybe there are people on here who are not famous, but for some reason I want to see their feet. But also, I don't know. And there are different ratings. This is pretty great. Like it's a 5-star system. Adele is almost a solid 4. She's got nice feet. There's a Maria Sharapova. This website's all fucked up, you guys. I know that's a shock. She's got beautiful feet, almost 5 stars, some beautiful feet, nice feet. Now, nice feet is Adele. I want to see, is there anyone who's like bad? Just no. Gross feet. Beautiful, beautiful, nice, beautiful, beautiful. Ooh, Carrie Whitman, whoever that is, has okay feet. That's a 3-star. That's pretty bad, huh? Now, a lot of these people, I don't know if I would call them celebrities. I mean, I don't know who they are. So that's the problem. I wouldn't call them celebrities, but I don't really know who anyone is. There is like 1,200 pages of stuff. And I think it's by most recently. Here's someone named Busty Cookie. Mandy Majestic. Now, these are obviously like porn stars. Based on the pictures, their feet are visible, and so is other stuff. Although they're not actually naked. Like, we're not violating any terms of use here, I don't think, with these. There's also what appears to be just, like, people who are not out there to be... Oh! This is a picture with a blister on it. And she's got a rating of nice feet. Now, come on. I was just talking to Poon Master Flex last night, and just kind of out of the blue, well, I was putting my foot on her, and one of the things I like to do with the cat is laugh at the cat, because the cat is always interested in smelling my feet, which I think is gross. I'm like, why do you always got it, like, she always wants to smell your fingers and stuff, you know, like to say, like, oh, who's this person that I've met a million times, and then she wants to smell, you know, your feet, whatever. If you put your foot close to her face, she'll be like, I'll give that a smell. And Poon Master Flex was saying, you know, that she likes me. She likes everything about me. But my feet are the one thing that she's kind of like not into, that she's like, ew. Which I was like, oh, that's hurtful. She's like, it's not you. It's I don't like feet. And I'm like, still. You know, it's like, could I give you $1,000 to put one of my toes in your mouth? And she said no. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, would you give me $1,000 to put your toe in my mouth? And she said, no. And I was like, all right. For $1,000, I always get caught up in this for like $1,000, the things that people would and wouldn't do. And I always think like, all right, toe in the mouth. Because I don't have gross feet, you know, my toenails are clipped and shit. I always think, okay, I wouldn't want to do this. People confuse the like $1,000 bet, right? Because it's not, in my case, when I'm doing this, it's not a trick to be like, hey, tell me, I'm trying to trick you into getting to say like, I would put your toe in my mouth. Because I'm like, no, that's not what I'm doing here. Let's do this. Popularity? Site rating. I want to get to the low. I want to see what gross feet are exactly. Emma Stone has gorgeous feet. Victoria Justice, Margot Robbie, Kristen Bell, Haley Steinfeld. Who's Haley Steinfeld? I still don't know who Haley Steinfeld is. I have to click on these. Oh, this is okay. This is True Grit girl. She's got True Grit and gorgeous feet. It would be very strange to get on here and be like, you have some of the top rated feet. All right. One star is ugly feet. Okay, now this is a picture of a girl who looks to be about 5. Unless she's got some weird disease or something. This is the last page. Maddie and Tay are these two girls, and they have the worst feet, apparently. Julia Cappelletti. I don't know any. I'm looking for somebody I know here. Edna Murphy. Is that Eddie Murphy dressed as a lady? Lenora Claire. Now, here's something that's interesting. Okay. See, there's this lady, Kathy Hayes, and she has like these. Looks like she's trying to break the world record of toenails. Oh, Susan Boyle. I know her. Here's the thing. It seems awfully coincidental that the people whose feet we really like are, you know, young hot celebs. And whose feet do we not like? Susan Boyle. Well, okay. Is that, I feel like this site should be all about, here's the ones that excite me. I want to see someone who's like a hot babe, but everyone's like, oh, her feet are disgusting. You know what I mean? That's how you know a true foot connoisseur is someone who's like, I don't care what the rest of their body looks like. I'm only in it for the feet, right? Like that is all, you know, Caitlyn Jenner. Okay. Well, I would expect Caitlyn Jenner to have gross feet. Athletes probably have gross feet in general, I would think, because they get all fucked up, right? I just keep going back here. Someone just named the Porsche. What does that even mean? I would expect athletes to have gross feet. I just, who's like the athlete? Oh, Danielle Steele. Now, see, that's like another old lady, though. And she just has bad feet. They're not even that bad. There's like some old-timey models in here that look like they're from like the 20s. So that, I feel like that doesn't count, right? Did we really care about anyone's feet in the 20s? Oh, I know how this came up, because we were talking about Hurt Foot Lady and how, you know, does anyone care about the hotness of feet? So apparently there are people who care about the hotness of feet, although I would say they sort of care, but it seems they care more about the general hotness, and then feet are just kind of a value add, because we don't have to go very far in to get already up to okay feet. Okay feeted. Okay fecal. That's the site for, you know, feet dating. Tiffany. Do you think this is like the Tiffany? I think we're alone now. You can see my feet because there's no one around. My feet are okay feet. I mean, almost all the people on here are rated as having beautiful feet. I guess this is, here's another thing. I guess if this was actually my fetish, if I was into beautiful feet, I probably wouldn't be very into people putting up pictures of feet that were gross. I'd be like, why are you wasting my time with these gross feet? I want to see hot celeb feet, not disgusto feet. Because that's what I'm into, right? Oh, this is interesting. You can report images. I have an image up here. let's see, this is like of some old-timey model. And it says, like, this image was reported for nudity. Is it justified? Yes or no? So you can see her nipple and her butt. I mean, what kind of question is that? Is the nudity on this foot fetish website justified? How do you know, how do you possibly make that decision? How do you possibly decide if that's a good, a solid, no, you know what, this is artistically valid. Yes, is there nudity in here? Yes. Is it justified? Yes. Right? People who like this lady also like Kylie Minogue, Jessica Biel, Gwen Stefani, Naomi Watts, and Rachel Bilson. There you go. It seems like also petite white ladies have the most popular feet, I would say. There's also a tab for The Guild. Now, what is The Guild? The Guild is a way to let members moderate the site's comment section. Here's how it works. Each posted comment is marked as pending and is only visible to The Guild. You can vote or devote, whatever. It's available to experienced site members. So hang on. Does that mean there's comments? I didn't see comments. All right, I'll look at one of these, like a popular one. Let's see, popularity. I'm going to assume that popularity. Okay, Megan Fox, gorgeous feet, Emma Watson. I don't have a thing for Emma Watson. Is this just part of, do you think that's just part of my, you know, general feelings about Harry Potter, that I'm like so-so on Harry Potter? I'm the most so-so on Harry Potter of anyone, and therefore everybody, you know. Okay, in this picture, Megan Fox is at the beach. Oh, wait, I can't see her feet. Okay. Oh, here's close-ups of her feet. This is great, because this is from, like, I think a movie, and it's, like, close-ups of Megan Fox's feet, and I believe, like, by her feet are her crumpled clothes. You know this classic shot they do in movies where it's, like, it cuts to their legs and the feet hit the ground? Did Megan Fox have a baby? That's crazy. Megan Fox could be your mom. She could be somebody's mom. How do I see the comments? I don't even know where the comments are. This is nuts. It looks like Megan Fox had a baby. It's so weird to me to think of, oh, here's the comments. So sexy. Duplicate. This is the same pic as in blah, blah, blah. Pretty bad when an adult movie star, Megan Rain, does being Megan Fox better than Megan Fox. Go to her wall. OMG. Nice. You got to give it to her. She takes good care of that body. For just having kids, she really bounced back quickly. Call it slightly odd, but I really dig barefoot airport pics. Hillary Swank has an awesome one. Well, if you really like barefoot feet pics, I got great news for you. 9/11 is like the best thing that's ever happened to you, right? All day long. Two dupes of this. Okay, somebody on here is really... Silver89 is really all over the place as far as, like... Not all over the place. Is all over it in terms of, like, calling out these duplicates and shit. Man, did she ever let herself go after getting married. Better lay off the cheeseburgers, pizza, and beer, and swallowing watermelon seeds, too. Oh, I get it, because she's pregnant. I don't know, man. It's more than disfiguring of the face via plastic surgery that has ruined her as a package deal for me. The feet look good, man. Thumbs, not so much, but I can look past minor flaws on a gorgeous woman. Looks to me like she fell victim to the same vanity that consumes other wealthy people. That's so funny. I like how this guy, and his username is Matthew McConaughey, and his picture is Matthew McConaughey, but he, like, whited out one of the eyes. It's almost like when you see somebody in a movie and they go into the serial killer's house and, like, they have a bunch of pictures with the eyes cut out. Pretty amazing. Oh, here we go. High arches lackluster. Another overrated celeb on this site. How surprising. I tend to believe that the ratings in WikiFeet have to do with everything but feet, actually. Yeah, there you go. I made a similar comment on Kaylee Cuoco's wall. Megan is beautiful, but it doesn't mean her feet has to be. Actually, I think her feet are stellar, not because of anything else. I rate her feet strictly on feet. I have rated feet high on women I didn't find attractive and rated feet bad on women I do find attractive. Megan's feet are pretty much perfect for me. Well, there you go. But yeah, I really like, this picture where the clothes are down by her feet, like she just disrobed. Because I'm like, you know, I think most movie makers are probably like, when I make this part of this movie where she disrobes and the clothes fall by her feet, that's like, most people are going to be like, oh, man. But then there's this whole subculture here of like people who are like, yes, that's what I wanted. I didn't want to see those boobs or butts. I wanted to see the feet. So the clothes dropping by the feet is kind of perfect. Well, there you go. So here's what we found out today. I mean, I think we all knew there was a foot fetish. I didn't know that single moms are always available. MILF. We didn't know the exact details of it. However, you know what I've discovered from this? What's actually disappointing about this to me? I have this whole theory about right now the internet is like, I think we all suspected, and I wrote a little about this in a column, but I didn't get too detailed because whatever. But this is the place where I just talk about stuff. I think the internet has become really super homogenous and in a terrible way. And I think there are two things that mainly contribute to this, right? Okay, on the one hand, you've got like, you know, and like proof of this is that a foot fetish site, the same people who are just like, you know, the hottest celebs are also the top rated on a foot fetish site, right? You would think on a foot fetish site, maybe I'd come across a bunch of people who it was like, this lady is like just very average looking, but foot fetishists love her feet. She's like, she's got the best feet. Like, okay, if you know, people are talking about who's got the best butt, you know, there's like Jennifer Lopez and Kim Kardashian and these different people. And then you would think that it would be the same with feet, right? There'd be feet people. But maybe they wouldn't be overall attractive. I mean, I guess thinking about best butt people, it's like, eh. Turns out that, like, the best butt people also don't have, like, weird faces and shit, right? I mean, they may have reprehensible personalities, but let's not get crazy. What are we going to do about that? So anyway, internet. It's become very homogenous, and I think there's two, like, real reasons for this. Number one is that there are, like, so many layers of rules and whatever. And like, I remember when the internet was younger, it was weirder. It was like wilder. Like there was strange shit. Like at the time I was a young man, so I didn't do a lot with it, but you would just come across a site that was just like, you know, pictures of somebody blowing up Barney the dinosaur, right? I remember there was a site that was just a tribute site to Captain Jean-Luc Picard. It was a giant pixelated picture of him and played like a 5-second loop of a song. And it was just like, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Starship Enterprise, Captain Jean-Luc Picard. And it just went over and over and over. That was the entire website. And I feel like, you know, even the much maligned, you know, hamster dance, for example, it was kind of like no one really knew what to do with the internet. So it just became, people were doing a lot of stuff because they're like, eh, why not? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I've got an afternoon to kill. I can sit in front of the computer. I can program a bunch of hamsters to dance to this annoying song for no real reason. I could just make this Jean-Luc Picard fan site for no real reason. There was a site I went to once that had like a MIDI version of Metallica's Unforgiven with just a GIF of like a dancing goblin. And it was like mesmerizing and pointless, but interesting. And so like the internet has definitely lost a lot of the pointlessness, right? Which is a interesting thing because I've acquired peterdirk.com. It finally came open, so I bought it. And I have had it for like a few months and I haven't really known what to do with it. And have kind of landed on like maybe I'll make like a really super pointless and weird website. Because I think that would be fun. Like, nothing's being sold here. Nothing is actually happening here. It's just kind of a, it's just there. Like, it's just a thing that's there and seems insane. So, here's the thing. One of the things that has changed the internet a lot is I think rather than people sort of doing their own thing. So, you know, you used to make a web page, right? You'd make an Angel Fire page or something like that. Most of us are getting out that aggression expression via these channels, right? Facebook, Twitter, memes, things like that. So, like, the medium has become more limited because most of us choose to use these limited mediums. And in those mediums, there's limitations as far as, like, what it supports, what people will watch, so on and so forth. And also, there are the more strict limitations of, like, what you can and can't do, right? Like, the internet seems very... It's not the entirety of the internet, but the internet that most of us use, the internet that we have apps for on our phones and stuff like that, does have some pretty strict rules, which, like, sometimes are used to, like, stop assholes from being assholes, and that's probably good. But also sometimes used... They're very, like, badly wielded. And, like, they're sometimes... They're designed to stop assholes, basically. But I think more than they're designed to stop assholes, they're designed to keep the website nice for people to use so that revenue streams can continue, right? That's their number one goal. Facebook's goal is not to be, like, a place of expression and discussion. It's to keep as many people coming back there as they can and, you know, make it a environment that people aren't, like, super afraid to have their kids go except for other kids. All that kind of shit, right? That's why they, like, I really think that's why Facebook and stuff does, you know, anti-bullying, whatever, because they're like, well, we're not, I don't think they really give a fuck. I think they just are like, well, if we don't take a stance on anti-bullying, a bunch of people are going to, like, not let their kids get on here, and it's going to be a whole thing. So I think there's that side. I think there's the rules and the venues we've chosen. Because before, it was kind of like, all right, before it was sort of, you're starting a business, let's call it, and you can do whatever you want. And you have to build the building, you have to decide what the business is, how it's going to run, whatever. And that's how websites worked. Now it's kind of like we're all franchising. We're all franchisees, you know. You get, here's what you get. Here's the space. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it can do. Here's what it can't do. You know, go for it. And so there's kind of like the softer and the harder rules. But then there's the other thing that I think has made the internet more homogenous, which is, like, as the entire world has moved to the internet, it's basically impossible to do something that doesn't piss off somebody, right? And so then you've got this second layer, this, like, self-imposed layer that we're imposing on ourselves of, well, I think it's impossible to do something that doesn't piss off somebody. And here's why. Like, for example, I wrote this article that was about Fury Road, like, 2 years ago. And a bunch of people commented on it because I said, like, Fury Road is the best written movie ever or something like that. People were furious. You know, they would comment and be like, fuck you. This is a fuck you to, you know, screenwriters who work hard and da-da-da-da. And so it's like, my point is, you can't even say something nice about something without people saying, wait, you saying that this is the best written movie ever is saying that these other movies are shit, right? So here's what I'm getting at. That's not like a, this is not an issue that's a science objective issue, right? It's not really a social issue of, like, how can you say that? You know, it's purely an issue of taste. And when you express your taste and then you kind of talk about why, how you've reached your conclusion, even that people find a way to be deeply, deeply offended by, right? And angry. And then they comment on it in such ways as to basically show the rest of the world how offensive you are, right? Show them how wrong you are, A, and B, how even the idea of doing this was wrong. So you've got these two layers online of sort of stoppage. You've got the sort of more technical and laid out rules. And then you've got the sort of social norms, which are not norms. They're just, you know, it's that story of the donkey and the cart, right? And it's like, they've got the donkey pulling the cart, and then they're like, oh, you should ride in the cart. Why would you just have the donkey pull the empty cart? And then someone's like, ugh, the dad shouldn't be in the cart. The kid should, you know, this lazy dad's making his poor kid walk. And then someone else is like, you should respect your elders. The dad should be. And then they're both in there and they're like, you're going to exhaust your donkey and so on. It's that shit, right? And so by the time you have these two different factions and you get things online, I think that's why everything kind of feels so samey to me. Or so uninteresting, or so not new. That's my running theory right now, anyway. The column I wrote was about zines and about how zines have survived and they're like kind of thriving and having a resurgence. And I think a lot of people would probably say it's like, oh, because it's you know, Trump and this is like a punk movement, so of course, and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's part of it. But I also think part of it is that you know, you can kind of make it whatever you want. And if you know, fuck the feedback. I mean, there are times when people need feedback and times when they don't. But the thing about the internet is everything is about feedback. You know what I mean? Everything is about, like, if you kind of said, like, I don't really care to read feedback on this thing I wrote, people are like, you're Hitler. You know? Why don't you care what I think? I care what you think. And the truth of the matter is, if I care what you think, I will find out, right? Like, if I do care what you think on an issue, then I'll find out. And if I don't, then I won't. You commenting on something I did doesn't mean I care. And me not caring about what you say doesn't makes me a monster. But in internet world, it does. It's an interesting place. I'll say that. But yeah, that doesn't apply, by the way, to people like tweeting me about the show and stuff like that. Just as a heads up, I'm not passive aggressively talking about you guys. I'm talking about the world at large. So here's what we're going to do now. I decided to look up, because something that I thought about was, what are like the worst topics of conversation? And have we covered those on the show? Almost certainly, right? So here we go. And I thought, let's just cover the worst topics. So I just found this article from smalltalkprofessional.com, by the way, which is so stupid. Okay, the big three are politics, sex, and religion. So there you go. I mean, I think we've talked about those plenty on this show, right? We've definitely talked sex. You know, if jerking off is sex and whatever. I mean, I just went through a whole site that was about how feet are sexy. So I can only imagine that my bowel troubles are sexy to somebody. I mean, maybe this is... What if I found out that this was the ultimate poo fetishist show? Like, they were like, this is just the right blend. He's, like, innocently unaware. You know, he's like the... that fucking weird thing of the ideal, you know, the virgin who is inexperienced and blah, blah, blah. Like, when he talks about his butt stuff, it's like he doesn't know how hot it is. You know, he's the lady in the schoolgirl outfit doing whatever. I don't know what they do in schoolgirl outfits, but who doesn't know that she's so hot. That's how it is when he talks about his poo stuff. So it's the perfect thing for us weirdos. I mean, if I found out about this, I would have to make a tough choice, because I'd be like, well, am I going to lean in to this or am I going to lean out, right? And I would be like, I think I'd probably go lean in. I think I'd be like, all right. And hopefully I wouldn't ruin it. Hopefully that wouldn't immediately get rid of my appeal. That would be my only problem. Because maybe by intentionally doing it, they'd be like, ah, he ruined it. He killed it for us because he started talking about poo on purpose. We wanted this sort of accidental discovery of it. It was like when you were listening to this, it was like he was talking to you and he didn't know you were a poo fetishist. And now that he knows, it's ruined. So there you go, sex. What else was there? Politics. We don't really talk about politics, although I would pose a new theory. I think not talking about politics is the new politics. In my experiences lately, saying like, I don't really want to talk about politics is makes you a monster. It makes, because, you know, people are going to ask you like, oh, well, so you don't care. You don't care about immigrants and refugees. You don't want to talk about this. And it's like, I don't know, whatever answer to your question results in me saying, yes, that's fine. Whatever results in us not talking about politics. And I don't really want to talk about how we're not talking about it. I have feelings about it. I donate stuff to stuff, but I just don't feel like my thoughts on, you know, what do I have to add to this? I have nothing, right? I have no additions, no helpful additions. Is this politics talk? Does that count if I'm like, I don't have a helpful whatever? I do a little bit, and doing a little bit is doing a lot more than I've done before, and there we are. Religion. I think I've talked about, I don't know if we talk about religion a lot. I feel like religion's become sort of a less taboo or something. I mean, definitely religions that aren't Christianity or, you know, God and Jesus ones have become less taboo, I guess. Okay. Should we talk? We can combine like two of three of these into one thing. I had this thought the other night, and I do look forward to hearing how I think I'm wrong, but I don't know how. I just feel like I am, but I don't know how. So it's put me in a weird spot. So I'm going to use this platform to ask the question. Chick-fil-A. The owner of it, whatever, doesn't like gay people. I should probably see like what exactly he said. Yay. I just put Chick-fil-A gay. Chick-fil-A same-sex marriage controversy. Chick-fil-A's charitable endeavor, the Something Windshape Foundation, had donated millions of dollars to political organizations seen by LGBT activists as hostile. Activists called for protests or boycotts. Does it get more specific here? Striking down Proposition 8. The PFI lobbied against a state effort to ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. Okay. Grants to Family Research Council, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and Exodus International, an organization noted for supporting ex-gay conversion therapy. Well, these are big things. It's listed as an anti-gay hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center in 2010. Okay. Statements. I think we are inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at him and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage. I pray God's mercy on our generation that has such a prideful, arrogant attitude to think that we have the audacity to find what marriage is about. Okay. I mean, that's definitely not pro-gay, but I don't know. We are very much supportive of the family, the biblical definition of the family unit. We are a family-owned business, a family-led business, and we are married to our first wives. We give God thanks for that. We want to do anything we possibly can to strengthen families. We are very much committed to that. We intend to stay the course. We know that it might not be popular with everyone, but thank the Lord we live in a country where we can share our values and operate on biblical principles. Okay? And then when they struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, the guy tweeted, sad day for our nation. Founding fathers would be ashamed of our generation to abandon wisdom of the age regarding cornerstone of strong societies. Okay. All right. Now, here's the thing. In 2012, they've ceased donating to organizations that promote discrimination against LGBT civil rights. They said the foundation is now taking a much closer look at the organizations it considers helping. Chick-fil-A has a statement of respect for all sexual orientations in an internal document called Chick-fil-A, Who We Are. And has promised that the nonprofit arm would not contribute money to oppose gay marriage. So there, I don't know. So that's the controversy. Okay. Here's the thought I had yesterday. Now, let's be honest about something. If there was a Middle Eastern restaurant in your town and they did not serve food during Ramadan, let's say, I feel like this would be something that most of us would say, yeah, that's their religious right, isn't it? I mean, if they were like, well, we don't eat during the day, we don't really support that, whatever, or, you know, whatever. They had their day of worship, whatever religion, is a Jewish restaurant, and they're like, we aren't open on Saturday. I feel like people would feel differently about that, or, you know, we're a Jewish restaurant, so we don't serve pork products. I feel like people would say that's okay, but I think there's a real anti... I do think there's some anti... this makes me sound like Bill O'Reilly, War on Christmas. Let's put it like this. I guess I just feel like if the hiring practices are legal, if what they're doing is, like, legal, I don't understand what the problem is with... Like, the founder of this thing is anti-gay. Now, he's not... He's not, like, beating up gay people. He's not doing this. He's just, like, supporting these charities that are not gay-friendly, right? Because that's his religious belief. So, like, I guess I'm not sure where the line is here. Like, how mad am I at Chick-fil-A? Like, how mad am I at this guy? Because I do not agree with his beliefs. And I might choose not to eat there because of that. I mean, I don't really eat at Chick-fil-A, to be honest. I think I've eaten there twice. Ever. And, but... I don't know. I don't know how upset to be when someone tells what their values are. Like, I guess... Here's the thing. If your values were totally atheistic and you contributed to all this and blah, 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 I would think, like, yeah, Christian people might be upset by that and probably wouldn't eat at your restaurant, right? And so, like, if your values are anti-gay, I would think that also, yes, people who support those values would not eat at your restaurant. Like, it just seems, I guess it seems to me, like, we got real caught up in this, and, like, Chick-fil-A is our big enemy, and I'm not totally sure about that. And what brought this up to me this week is I was reading an article about a bookstore that what they did was they turned all the books by men backwards so that the spine was facing inside the bookshelf. So basically you couldn't see what they were. They went through the entire store and did this to their bookstore. And my sister texted me about this and was like, what do you think about this? You know, what do you say? And I was like, well, I probably wouldn't shop there because I feel like, though I understand what they're trying to do, I think they're trying to promote women by stepping on men, to be honest with you. And, like, I don't necessarily agree with this, and I think there are better ways to do it. They're less newsworthy, you know, because, for example, I was like, I think you could make a choice in your store to front face all only books by women, or you only put books on display by women. And that feels different to me, and I'm not sure why. I guess maybe it's a degree. I think it also, I mean, it ignores, and I'm going to use this word that I don't know that I fully understand, but, like, intersectional politics, right? Because I'm like, I'm sorry. I have a hard time believing that, like, in the world of publishing, you know, because this is what they were about, right? Is, like, women's voices being silenced and women not getting publishing contracts and all that, which I get. But I'm like, are you going to, do we really believe that, like, a gay black man has an easier time in anything than, like, a white woman who went to college? I mean, that's a tough sell for me. You know, a gay man writing a book that has explicit gay sex in it, is that ever going to be as mainstream as fucking Danielle Steele? No way. Like, no way. And so it was a tough one for me. Or, you know, I think that turning around the books by men, I mean, here's the thing. It's hard for me to say this as, like, a white dude, right? But I'm like, this is the exact kind of thing that we would never tolerate from something else, right? Any other category, I think we wouldn't allow for that. But here we are. But here's the other, here's why it brought up Chick-fil-A to me. The bookstore is staffed and it has 8 staff members and they're all women, right? And like, I don't personally have a problem with that. Like, I kind of think that, here's the thing. I think that like, if you own a business, you should kind of be able to do a little bit of what you want, right? It's sort of like, I mean, I feel a controversial-ish way about like, you know, the baker who has to make a cake for a gay wedding. And I kind of feel like, I don't know. I think that like, if you own your own bakery and you don't want to make a cake for somebody because of something about them, then that's your choice. I think you should be explicit with the people about why so that they can be like, okay, fuck this guy and go somewhere else. I don't know what's in it for anyone to force this guy to make a cake, right? I think it's like a weird thing. However, when we look at the other side and it's like, okay, what if he can't choose not to make a cake for someone because they're gay? I don't really know how you can choose to run a bookstore and have it staffed entirely by women, right? Like, how does that work? But, you know, that's applauded and exciting, and it's like, okay, cool. But if you had a bookstore that was, if I opened a bookstore that was entirely staffed by men, which I think I could make a great case for, and here's why. Men don't read. Men do not read. Like, men always read less than women. And this is the case. Like, from pretty young age, at super young ages, boys and girls are, like, pretty similar in their reading habits. And then men just drop off the fucking map completely. And I can tell you from, you know, 13 years of working with books, like, most of the people who work with books are women. Most of the people who use books are women. And you go to, like, a conference, you go to, like, even not a library thing, but a book conference. When I was at Book Expo, men's bathroom, completely empty. Women's bathroom, line. Right? Like, the world of books is not the world of men, from what I see. And, like, I think that there probably is some issues on the publishing side, and I don't really know how to speak to those or what to do about that. But on the consumer side, men don't give a shit. And like, we could talk all day about like Jonathan Franzen and how problematic that is, you know, like how everyone's like, oh, fucking, they'll give Jonathan Franzen this great contract, but not so-and-so, right? But I'm like, yeah, he's a man, but he's not, I wouldn't call that men's literature, to be honest with you. Like, I would not call that a book for men, because men don't read it. I think women and men read it in pretty equal whatever. Canonically, of course, there's more men than women because that's how everything that's old-fashioned is, and canon is old-fashioned. It is. And so here's the thing, though. I feel like you could make a great case for opening a men's bookstore, and you're like, this is a place for men to connect with books. There's a need for men to connect with books. There's a need for men to read more, and there's a need for men to be able to go to a bookstore and say, this place is for, like, I'm welcome here. This is for me. And this is the problem I had with turning the books around, is I was like, I think you can make a lot of arguments of, you know, the world is for men. It's a man's world. And I think there are a lot of industries in which this is not true. But I don't think in the book industry, you'd have a hard time making a case that, like, men feel very welcome here, and that's a problem, or, you know, whatever. Like, I think in the book industry, it's quite the opposite. I think more men feel uncomfortable in a bookstore or bored in a bookstore than women. So if you opened a bookstore with the goal of, you know, connecting men to books and like doing the difficult work that has not been done so far of connecting men to books, I think you'd be seen as like a bad person. It was either Esquire or GQ was going to start publishing in their magazine, I think, like stories for men, fiction for men. And that got like shouted down and was kind of like, don't do it. And I felt like, wait a minute, I don't see what the problem is here. Because, like, from what I understood, what they were saying is, like, these are stories or things that appeal to men, like average men. Not super heavy literary fiction where nothing happens, right? This is not going to be that. This is like, this is something that you could see. Imagine this. I'm going to ask the men out there, how many of you, and women, how many of you pass on books to your dad? How many of you have been in a book club with other men? I mean, I've run so many book clubs, and I can tell you so many are devoid of men if they show up at all, right? And if they do show up, they're not really made to feel welcome by the other members of the book club. And so, like, here's what it all comes down to. I just think that in this case, it was like, we applaud the all-female book club. We applaud their protest. And, like, I think they have every right to do their protest. I'm not going to give a big screed against it. You know, I'm not going to say, like, they're hateful, they hate men, whatever. I don't think that's true at all. I just think that it's like, I think that their intentions were good and the execution could have used some work, but whatever. But I would probably choose to not shop there if I had other options and I lived there. And so here's what it comes back to me, like with Chick-fil-A. I just feel like, I think that like business owners can still have opinions on things, right? And I don't like that opinion. I don't agree with that opinion, but whatever. Like, okay, so he owns Chick-fil-A and here's how he feels about gay marriage. Fine. Who cares? This is where I'm like, not sure if I'm right or wrong. Like, who cares? And I don't know if I understand why this is a problem. I don't know why. I think hating gay people is a problem. But I also think that, I guess I just see like there's such a vast difference between, well, let's put it like this. I feel like there's a vast difference between donating to a charity which engages in conversion therapy versus punching a gay guy in the face while he's giving a speech on camera. Like, I think those are very different things. I think there's a huge difference between, no, we don't hire gay people to work here, or no, I would never be friends with a gay person, versus like, I donate to this charity and they do these things that I, you know, whatever, and which they've sent back down for. So I guess it's like, I guess overall, here's how I feel. Are we going to let people do what they want or not? And if we're not, then what are the rules? Like, we got to make the rules, right? Okay, you can't discriminate against anybody. Okay, well, all right. So if this guy is a business owner, can't decide who he makes cakes for and stuff, fair. But then, doesn't that mean that like a feminist bookseller, I'm like, okay, well, you also need to be equal, right? You can't just have a female staff. I mean, I feel like those, I know that it's like a little bit of a reach, but I feel like this is the same sort of thing. So there you go. There's some religion in there. I just think that people should be able to practice their religion. And here's the thing. We had this talk about this at work because there was a book on the shelf that was about conversion therapy, right? And as an advocate of like free speech and intellectual freedom, I had mixed feelings about it. And here's why. I imagine an adult who is very religious and is also gay. Like they've decided they're gay. Not they've decided they're gay, but they've decided to recognize like, I'm gay. Like this is clearly who I am. I'm gay. I'm religious. This is not my personal belief, but my understanding of the personal beliefs of people in that situation, many of them would probably feel like, I have a choice to make now. I have to violate one of these two fundamental things about me. Because being gay and being a follower of this religion do not fit for me. And we can argue up and down that that's not true, but I think that gets into arguing like what a religion is and isn't, which I'm not the person for. And also, I feel like it's such an individual thing, right? Like what your religion means to you. I mean, we can talk all day about like Christianity is not oppressive to this or that group. And it's like, well, but yes, it is. But no, it's not. It just depends how the individual applies it, right? What I'm saying is I don't think it's a stretch to imagine an individual who feels that being gay goes against their religion. And so now you've got this individual who's like, okay, well, my choice in life now, I have to suppress or violate one of the fundamental things about me because they cannot coexist. What am I going to do? And so here was my struggle. As an information professional, is it my job to not provide materials related to the option that says I'm going to basically suppress the fact that I'm gay? Or is it my responsibility to offer the options and let the person make the decision? Now, I think a lot of people would argue like, well, a teenager who's confused might pick this up and then, you know, they're being told blah, 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 blah. And I understand that, but I also have to say we have a lot of things in our collection, as do most libraries, that are not meant for teenagers. Like, this is not material that's meant for people who have not reached sexual maturation or what, you know what I mean? Who have not, they're not ready for it. And so, like, is that a possibility? Absolutely. But is that a good reason not to have something in our collection? Basically, can we only have things in our collection that pose no danger to teenagers? And let's be serious, children. You know what I mean? Like, we have horror movies. So we have the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? That's not going to be a good thing if a kid gets that. So that argument doesn't work great for me because it's like, well, we cannot have the standard be what if someone who's not ready for it gets a hold of it? Because then we can't really have anything. So, you know, it was a struggle and we talked about it quite a bit. And I guess the thing is, I just feel like individuals have their own individual circumstances, and I don't know how much service we're doing to anybody by saying, like, you know, feminist bookstore, you have no right to turn the books around that way. Chick-fil-A, you have no right to be closed on Sunday. These kind of things, right? You know, business owner X, you have no right to donate to this charity, which does operate within the boundaries of the law, which does this, that, you know. You have no right to support this person financially who's not in support of gay marriage. I mean, I think you do have that right. And, like, I don't like that. I don't think it's right. And I think that that'll, luckily, I think it will change and is changing. But yeah, it's all interesting stuff. I don't know. That was a downer show. That one didn't make me happy. But there we go. This is what happens when we talk about, see, the worst small talk conversation topics. You're right. It was the worst. I don't know. It's just so weird too, because I don't fucking eat at Chick-fil-A. Like, I don't really care. Like, I don't really love Chick-fil-A. Maybe this is the people I think that are the worst. Is that I just think that I just think there's so many people out there who, like, you know, pat themselves on the back. They're like, I don't eat Chick-fil-A. And it's like, you wouldn't have fucking eaten there anyway. How much Wendy's are you eating? Just eat Wendy's. Wendy's is the ultimate, you know, feminist icon. They have delicious food that's terrible for you. And, you know, that's why it's a choice, right? That's why it's the ultimate symbol of America. It's got a young lady as the icon, and always has. And the choice to eat terrible food is our choice, goddammit. Like, we know it's terrible. No one's hiding the fact that it's terrible. It's very easy to figure out that Wendy's food is not good for you. And so, eating it's kind of the ultimate act of patriotism. How do you like that? Suck it, Morgan Spurlock. Suck it.